You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Supporting Actor of the Week podcast. This week we're going to look at Ovadyahu, who appears in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yudchet. Now, some Midrashim identify him with a different Ovadia, perhaps better well-known, you know, the Navi who has that single Perek prophecy in the middle of Treasar. It is not clear at all that these two men were actually the same person, but the Midrash claims that they are the same, at least some Midrashim do. And this identification seems to be largely because of the similarity of the name, and also the general Midrashic tendency to identify people who have similar names. We will be studying, however, Ovadyahu, as he appears in the story of Malachim Aleph. His story appears smack in the middle of the series of stories about Eliyahu. A perek earlier, we are introduced to Eliyahu Hanavi for the first time. At the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin, Vayomer Eliyahu Hatishpi Mitoshavei Gilad El Achav. Right, Eliyahu says to Ahav, this is the first time we are ever hearing about Eliyahu Hanavi, Chai Hashem Elohei Yisrael. He says in an oath, right, to Ahav. Ahav is the king of Yisrael at the time, who we read in the preceding paragraphs, introduced Avodah Zarah, idol worship, into Yisrael in a way that it had never been introduced before, largely under the influence of his wife Izebel, who was from a foreign kingdom, from Tzor, and not only do they worship idols, meaning worship God by way of idols, they mostly, under the influence of Izebel, introduced the worship of the Baal, who was a foreign god altogether. This was something new at the time in Israel, a new level of Avodah Zarah. And so Eliyahu makes an oath, Chai Hashem Elohei Yisrael, Asher Amadati Lefanav, Im Yehiya Shanim Ha'ele, Tal Umatar Ki'im Lefi Devari. Right, he makes an oath that there will be no rain until he says so, and until further notice. And there's debate among the commentaries. Is this Eliyahu's idea? Right, is he making a bold statement here, kind of forcing the hand of God, and God apparently listens, that there will be a drought? Or is he merely repeating God's words? Based on the series of little stories that appear right after this, the former seems more likely, right? That Eliyahu somehow forces the hand of God here. He is the one who brings this drought upon Am Yisrael, and this causes great difficulty for the people, who are very quickly found in the middle of a terrible drought, which brings about great, great suffering. The question which kind of looms between the lines is whether the drought is justified, especially if it was brought about by Eliyahu himself. It certainly seems justified. The Midrash explains that the reason why he brought about a drought specifically is because we read in Kriyat Shema that if Am Yisrael worships idols, right, then there will be no rain in the proper time, etc., etc. And if they follow Hashem's way, then there will be rain. So how could it be, Eliyahu says in the Midrash, that idol worship is all over the place and the rain keeps falling, and therefore he felt he had to stop the rain. Let's now look at the story in Perek Yudchet where Ovadiah makes an appearance, Ovadiahu makes an appearance, to see, you know, part of what Eliyahu's statement that brought about the lack of rain, see what it brought, and some of the results from it. Perek Yudchet Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi yamim rabim, udevar Hashem haya el Eliyahu b'shana hashlishit lemor. Okay, so it is now the third year of this drought, to give you some sense of the situation. And he says, Hashem says to Eliyahu, Lech hira'e elechav ve'etzna matar al pnei adama. Go and make an appearance to Achav, and I will bring rain to the land. Vayelech Eliyahu, lehira'ot el echav. V'ha'ra'av chazak b'shomron. So Eliyahu goes, and the ra'av, the famine is very, very strong in Shomron, right, the city where Achav lives. V'yikra Achav el Ovadyahu asher al habayit. Right, so Achav calls to Ovadyahu, who was responsible for his house, meaning he was a high-level servant in the house of Achav, and Achav calls to him, and he says to him, and then the story takes a break to tell us, Ovadyahu haya yirei et Hashem me'od. He was God-fearing, this Ovadyahu, as his name seems to indicate, right? His name is very appropriate, right? Eved Hashem, Ovadyahu. Not only was he God-fearing, he was very God-fearing. Haya yirei et Hashem me'od. Masechet Sanhedrin points out that this description is even greater than the description of Avraham Avinu's Yirat Hashem, right? Meaning that he was an extremely, he had an extremely high level of fear of God. Vayhi b'achriti zevel et nevi'e Hashem, vayikach Ovadyahu me'a nevi'im vayach bi'em, chamishim ish b'me'ara, v'chil kelam lechem v'mayim. And as a way of indicating just how God-fearing Ovadyahu was, right, the story tells us, as an aside, that when Izebel, the wife of the king, who was a bit more fiery than Achav himself in terms of her anti-God sentiments, meaning she was much more a strong proponent of Avodah Zarah than Achav himself. Achav, we don't have time to go into it in this podcast. Achav is a very interesting character in terms of his ambivalence on this issue. But Izebel is very strong and very clear about her anti-Nivi'e Hashem and anti-Hashem in general stance. And she wanted to have them all killed, all of the Nivi'e Hashem. And Ovadyahu, who, don't forget, is a high-level servant in the house of Achav, nevertheless hides 100 Nivi'im, 100 prophets, and in caves, 50 Nivi'im in each cave, v'chikalem lechamamayim, and provided them with food and water. Now, let's remember how outstanding this is, particularly because of, again, the situation in the country. There isn't much food and water, and yet Ovadyahu puts himself in great danger, and he does this. Vayomer Achav el Ovadyahu, lech ba'aretz, el kol ma'ayne ha'mayim ve'el kol ha'nechalim, ulay nimtza chatzir v'nechaye sus v'fered, ve'lo nachrit meha'behima. He says to Ovadyahu, go and search out all of the springs, right, all of the various sources of water in the country. Maybe we'll find a little bit of green that we can give to our animals, to our horses and our donkeys, so that maybe that they won't all die. In other words, that we won't be without any of our livestock. Right, again, this shows just how terrible the situation I got, that the king himself and his highest servant are going out to find any bit of green that they can give to their animals so that they won't all die on them. V'yechalku lahem et ha'aretz la'avor ba, Achav halach b'derech echad levado, v'Ovadyahu halach b'derech echad levado. Right, so they split up to cover more ground. V'yihi Ovadyahu b'derech v'hine Eliyahu likrato. And it so happened that when they were walking in separate places, Ovadyahu meets up with Eliyahu. V'yakireu v'yipol al panav, v'yomer ha'ata ze adoni Eliyahu. He immediately recognizes him, and he falls down, bows down, and he says, is this you, my master Eliyahu, Adoni Eliyahu? Vayomer lo, ani. He says, yes, it is I. Lech emor le'adonecha hine Eliyahu. Go tell your master, here is Eliyahu. Eliyahu, in other words, Eliyahu is here to speak to him. Vayomer, right, Ovadyahu's response is almost startling. Vayomer. Right, startling, because we see that Ovadyahu has great respect for Eliyahu. He bows down to him. He calls him my master. Vayomer mechatati. What sin have I done to you? Or what sin have I done? Ki atan otenet avdecha biyad Achav lahamiteni. That you are giving me into the hands of Achav that he should kill me. Chai Hashem Elohecha im yesh goy umamlacha esher lo shalach adoni sham levakeshcha. Do you realize, Eliyahu, that Achav has been searching for you everywhere? He has sent messengers to every place to see if you are there, and everybody said, nope, we haven't seen him. And he made those other nations and those other kingdoms swear that they didn't know where you were. And now you want me to go dancing up to Achav and say, oh, by the way, I found Eliyahu. Right, I'm going to leave you now, right, as you asked to go to speak to Achav. Right, and God, the Spirit of God will move you off somewhere to I don't know where. Uvati lahagid laachav v'lo yimtzeacha v'haragani. Right, I'll go tell Achav that I found Eliyahu, and I'll come back, and you'll be gone. Right, and he will kill me.
Avadiyahu continues. V'avdecha yare et Hashem l'mu'ra. Why would you do this to me? I have been God fearing since my youth, since I was a kid. Why would you do this to me, Eliyahu?
Halohu God la'adoni et asher asiti v'harog izevel et nevi'ei Hashem v'achbi menevi'ei Hashem me'a ish, chamishim ish v'me'ara v'achalkem lechem u'mayim. Right? Behold, it was told la'adoni, to my master. We'll get back to that word in a moment. It was told to my master, Avodiyahu says to Eliyahu, how when Izevel wanted to kill all of the Nevi'ei Hashem, I hid them, right, 100 of them in the caves, and I gave them bread and water. Ve'ata omer lechem or la'adonecha hinei Eliyahu v'haragani. Right? You now tell me to go to say, oh, and here is Eliyahu, he will surely kill me. Right? Vayomer Eliyahu, Chai Hashem tzvaot asher amadti lefanav ki hayom era'e alav. And at that point Eliyahu says, I take an oath that I will appear before Achav today, meaning I'm not going to disappear on you. You don't have to worry, Ovadiyahu, you're not going to get killed. Right? But if you go back for a moment to Pasuk Yud Gimel, there's an interesting ambiguity here, which lends itself to two possible different explanations to what Ovadiyahu is saying here. Right? Throughout these words, this exchange here between Eliyahu and Ovadiyah, two people are referred to as Ovadiyahu's Adon. Eliyahu himself, right? When, like, for example, when Ovadiyahu first meets up with Eliyahu, he says, Ha'ataze Adoni Eliyahu, is it you, my master Eliyahu? But they also refer to Achav as Ovadiyahu's Adon, right? Because after all, he's his boss, right? And so when it says here in this pasuk, Halohu God la Adoni et asher asiti, right? It was told to my master what I did with hiding the Nevi'im. It's not clear if Ovadiyahu here is referring to Eliyahu or referring to Achav, right? So how would the pasuk be understood according to these two possibilities? One possibility is that he's talking to, that he's referring to Eliyahu, right? After all, my master, you, Eliyahu, know what I've done in the past, that I've saved all of these Nevi'im, right? And provided water for them. And now you're going to tell me to go to say, here is Eliyahu, right? And he will kill me, right? In other words, you know what I've done in the past, and now you're going to send me off to get killed. The other possibility is that he's referring to his other master, to Achav, right? My master knows what I did when Izevel was trying to kill those Nevi'im. Maybe it was like the secret that wasn't such a secret, or maybe just a secret from Izevel, right? As I mentioned before, Achav was a little bit more ambivalent than his wife about what to do with the Nevi'im and all of that whole issue. So it's known to my master, Achav, right, what I did, that I saved all his Nevi'im and I provided for them. But now, v'ata omer lechem or la'adunecha hinei Eliyahu v'haragani. But surely, if this happens now, that this one Navi, who he has been looking for very, very strongly, suddenly appears out of nowhere, and who should find him but Ovadiyahu, he will probably be less happy about my saving Nevi'im in the past, and he will surely kill me. And so, Eliyahu, hearing Ovadiyahu's words, says to Ovadiyahu, basically, don't worry, I will make sure that I appear to Eliyahu, I'll appear to Achav, I'm not going to disappear on you again, nothing is going to happen to you, Ovadiyahu. What is this tension between Ovadiyahu, right, the servant of Hashem, and Eliyahu, right, Eliyahu, the one who declares with his whole existence the fact that Hashem is God, right? It would seem that these two would be on the same side when it comes to all things, but they're not. There is a certain tension between them, despite the fact that both of them are the strongest proponents of God in these stories. This becomes clear when you see the story of Avadyahu in the context of the two little stories that come before them. Right after Eliyahu declares that there's going to be this drought, Hashem tells him to go to a place called Nachal Krit, which is near the Yarden, on the Yarden, and he says, this is in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Dalet, V'haya mehanachal tishtevet ha'arvim tziviti lechal kalech Hashem. Right, you'll drink from the Nachal, you drink from the river there, and the Orvim, the ravens, I have commanded to provide for you. V'yelech v'yas kedvar Hashem, v'yelech v'yeshev v'nachal krit asher al pnei Yordain, v'ha'orvim mevi'im lo lechem u'basar, v'boker v'lechem basar ba'arev, min ha'nachal yishteh. Right, he's sent to this place, and since he needs to eat and drink, the water is provided by the river and the Orvim. According to many, at least, commentators, the Orvim literally means ravens here. Some people say that it refers to a certain nation. But the Orvim were commanded to bring him food. Right, a miracle, basically, is performed for Eliyahu here so he'll be able to eat. Mefarshim quickly point out that the Orev is found in Tanakh in a couple of places as being known for the bird who has difficulty providing for its young. There are psukim which talk about who will provide for the orev, who will give food to the children of the orev when they call out, wanting to eat. Right, basically the implication being that it's Hashem who provides for the orev. So here these orvim, ironically, are the ones who are providing food for Eliyahu. By the end of the day, the water dries up, right? A direct result of what Eliyahu has done, and he is no longer able to stay there because he's no longer water to drink, right? But in terms of the Orvim, they are the ones who provide for Eliyahu here, right? The words again are Orvim tziviti lechal kalecha sham, lechal kalecha, to provide for you there, right? And so the Orvim, the ones who are the least likely to be the providers, or the least able to be the providers, are the ones who are dafka commanded here to give the food to Eliyahu. The next story, and this is like a more complicated story, which we're not going to have time to go in here in depth, Eliyahu is then, but we're going to look at a few small details, Eliyahu was told to go to a place called Tzarfat, which is not France, but it's a place, you know, up north in what is now today Lebanon. And, it's a city in Sidon. And you should go there, and there is an isha almana. Right, hine tziviti sham isha almana lechal kalecha. I have commanded commanded might not mean literally commanded. It might be, or maybe yes. But in other words, I will cause an isha almana to provide for you. Now, clearly here, the isha almana is sort of parallel to the orvim in the previous story. Right there, it says, Ve'et ha'orvim tziviti lechal kalecha sham. And here, hinei tziviti sham isha almana lechal kalecha. Right? The parallel, of course, being that an isha almana, a widow, right, who, if you read through the rest of the story, barely has enough food to provide for herself and for her son, right, the one who is the least likely to be able to provide for Eliyahu, she is the one who is commanded to provide for Eliyahu, and in the end does. She says to Eliyahu, I don't have anything to eat for myself. We're going to die. We're going to make this last piece of, make this last bread, and then we will die because we will have nothing left to eat. But Eliyahu promises that the food will not run out, and that is what happens. Right, the miracle of the kara kemach and the tzapachat of shemen that never runs out. But here again, we have a situation where someone who is unable to provide is miraculously able to provide for Eliyahu. And the next little story, which is a continuation of the story with this widow and her son, the famous story where the son gets very sick, and Eliyahu and dies, and Eliyahu revives him. What's interesting is the complaint of the woman to Eliyahu when her son falls sick. Vatomer el Eliyahu. Ma li velach isha Elohim, bata elayla haskirat avoni ulhamitat bini. Right, what do we have between us, Eliyahu, that you should come here in my midst to remind, presumably God, of my sin, and to kill my son? Meaning, there's something about Eliyahu coming to the home of this woman, she believes, that has brought death upon her son. There are many Mefarshim who try to understand what exactly is being referred to. Some say that because, by comparison to Eliyahu, anybody is a sinner, right? That she would be considered a sinner because she's being compared to Eliyahu, who has come into her home, so, and therefore is being punished. And there are other explanations as well, but in some way or another, Eliyahu is being blamed here. This coming on the back of her earlier complaint of, how can I provide food for you? When Eliyahu asks for food, when I barely have enough food for myself, right? How can you ask this of me? So in this story, Eliyahu is being seen as, if I may say, a little bit insensitive, right? The one who brings hardship upon people who are already in a very difficult situation, and he's being blamed for it, right? And quite possibly as a result of the fact that he brought the hardship upon Am Yisrael in general with this drought. Hard to say exactly. But clearly he's one, there's a tension here, right? He's being blamed for this hardship that has come upon them. And he works his way out of it, but he kind of is forced to see this hardship that people at least believe was brought about by him. And then going back to the next story is the story with Obadiah, and this kind of rings true with Obadiah as well. First of all, the parallel continues. Not so much with Eliyahu himself. However, when we're introduced to Ovadiyahu, right, he's the one who hides the Nevi'im, v'chilkelam lechem v'yayin, lechem v'mayim, right? He provides for them food, bread, and water, right? That those words, of course, echoing what the Almanah does for Eliyahu and what the Orvim do for Eliyahu, right? So once again, we have someone who perhaps is in the most difficult position to be able to help these Nevi'im, meaning being a servant in the house of Achav himself, and yet he's the one who does it. And when Eliyahu comes and tells Ovadiyahu to, say to Achav, here I am, Ovadiyahu once again says to, Ovadiyahu says to Eliyahu something which reminds us of what we hear from the Almanah, why are you doing this to me? Why are you bringing death upon me? I have done nothing but good, right? Why are you bringing this death upon me? Now, his story and the story of the Almanah are not exactly parallels. What he did and what she did, right? They're not exactly the same, but the ideas are the same, right? That in the case of, here in the case of Ovadiyahu, a good person is having hardship brought upon him when he's already in a very difficult situation, and this all seems to be caused by Eliyahu. What are all these stories coming to say, right? And this is not my original idea. Many have said this before me, that Eliyahu had to be taught a lesson. Eliyahu is the zealot, right? He's the one who sees things as black and white. The people sin, and therefore the people must be punished. Much of Am Yisrael is worshipping Avodah Zarah, and therefore there has to be a drought. And these stories, slowly but surely, are meant to teach Eliyahu that that's not really the case. Meaning, of course, Hashem thinks that people should worship Him and not worship Avodah Zarah, but that together with the Deen has to be a certain amount of Rachamim, and that the way of Eliyahu is not necessarily the way that Hashem wants to deal with this situation. So first the Orvim, the unlikely providers, and then the Almanah, the unlikely provider, who begins to show Eliyahu the difficulty that he has caused Am Yisrael, and then Ovadiah, who is the quintessential Oved Hashem. There's nobody better than the Ovadiah, who was Yireh Elohim Me'od, to show Eliyahu that things aren't as simple as you think, right? Things are not as black and white. First of all, because you can't only deal with this purely with Deen, but also because there are good people mixed in with the bad people, right in the heart of the leaders who have brought Avodah Zarah to the country, is this Oved Hashem, this Ovadiyahu, who is clearly not like that. And so the justice which you think you're bringing upon the people perhaps isn't so just. And this And this perhaps is why Eliyahu reassures him and says, "Don't worry, I'm going to appear to Ahav today, and nothing is going to happen to you." And then the next story is the famous story of Eliyahu and Har Carmel, where he beats the Kohanei Baal in that big show, where he shows that Hashem is truly the powerful God, and the Baal really is nothing. And after that show, when he proves this to the people, at least temporarily, he's able to bring rain. And end the terrible drought. Does Eliyahu learn this lesson entirely, or does this lesson last with Eliyahu? It doesn't seem so. We don't have time to continue today, but you know, Eliyahu seems to remain the zealot. Right? That seems to be Eliyahu's role. Interestingly, the Midrash plays with this a lot. Right? Later on, Eliyahu becomes the one who he's still the ish of Dean. He's still bringing justice to people, but in that is mixed a lot of other interesting elements of witnessing the dedication of Am Yisrael to the Brit of Hashem, specifically helping out the poor while giving punishment to the evil, and so at least in the Midrash, Eliyahu does in some way come to a realization of what Ovadiyahu here is trying to teach him.